Vayome, the fifth day, right? Vayome Elokim, and God said, Yishrutzu Hamayim, let the waters, how you say it? Let the waters bring out shratzim, bring out creepy crawlers. I don't know how you say them. How's it say? How's the astro translate it?
The waters teem with swarming things.
Teem with swarming things. Let the waters teem with swarming things. Okay. Sheret nefesh chaya. Sheret means these swarmy things, which have nefesh chaya, which have the soul of life. Va'of. Amen. Va'of ye'ofef ala aretz. And birds which fly on the ground. On the ground, that means above the ground. Al pnei rakia, on the surface of the rakia, the heavens. Hashamayim, the heavens. Okay, so we're creating here the swarmy things, the birds. Vayivra Elokim. Now he's saying the Lashon Vayivra, and he created. That's a different Lashon. Vayivra, that's creation ex nihilo. Yeah. Vayivra Elokim. Eta taninim. These taninim, whatever these taninim are, doesn't mean whales. Hagdolim. These big taninim. Right? So he had these big, whatever types of fish, whatever they are. Vet kol nefesh achaya, and all the living souls, haromeset, which like crawl, asher shaltsu hamayim, which swarmed in the seas, leminehem, according to their forms. Vet kol of, and all the birds, kanaf, which have wings, leminehu, according to their forms. Vayar Elokim, and God saw, ki tov, that they're good. Vayvarechotam Elokim, and God blessed them. Lemor saying, Pru urvu, be fruitful and multiply. Umilu et amayim, and fill the waters, biyamim, in the seas. Vahaof, and the birds, yirev ba'aretz, will be many in the land. Vayi erev, and it was evening. Vayi boker, and it was morning. Yom chamishi,
the fifth day. All the time, there was morning and there was.
Because he wants to say that it took a day to do it.
It's telling you that each day has an eve. It starts with the night and goes to the day. It's the fifth day. Why it should say that which day you're talking about? How do you know which day you're talking about? Maybe it's a continuation of the fourth day.
No, I think that.
So on the fifth day, we have these creations of the animals, right? The swarming animals and the animals of the seas, right? The birds and the animals of the seas and these two big fish. Okay, so now let's just read the Rashis. So let's say Rashi. Rashi says, Nefesh Chaya, a soul of life. Sheh Bachiyut, it has life. I.e. life comes from a person's soul. Right? That's what Nefesh Chaya means. Nefesh yeh b'chayut. It's a nefesh, a soul, which is in it life. Right? Sheretz, kol davachai, anything which is living, sheinu gavoa mina aretz, which isn't higher from the land, krui sheretz, is called like a creepy crawlier. Right? Why do you call it a swarming thing? But off, what are you talking about off? But no, we're talking about zvuvim,
flies,
bishkatzim, Gon Nemalim, we're talking about in the Shkatsim, we're talking about how you say Nemalim, ants, Vechipushim, I don't say Vechipushim, like Vertolaim, like worms and you know these.
There's a crawl on the ground.
Yeah, there's creepy crawlies. Over Briot, and in things which are the swarming things of the Briot, of the high level former of life, the Cholad, the Achbar, the mouse, and I don't know what the Cholad is in English. The weasel, maybe the chomet, the kiyotzi behem, the kol hadakim, and all the fish. So that was created on the fifth day. Fine. And now we go on to this problematic pasuk in which we create these two big fish, hataninim, the taninim, hagdolim, the big taninim. What are these big taninim?
These sea giants.
Yeah, yeah. What are these big taninim? What are these for? Right? Why are you creating them? What are they? Dagim dolim, big fish. Shibayam, in the seas. Ubadivrei Agada, and in the words of the Agada, Hu Leviathan, this is the Leviathan. What's a Leviathan? That's what we eat in the world to come. Now you know why we eat gefilte fish on Shabbos. Me'ein olam haba. You don't like gefilte fish, you're going to have a problem in olam haba. Because there's going to be this big gefilte fish to eat. All the tzaddiki, that's your food. Gefilte fish. Good. That's worth being Jewish for this one. No. Svarim have a problem, I know. Svarim have a problem, yeah. Okay. It'll be Moroccan fish, don't worry. Yeah, okay, we'll see. No carrots. Didn't say anything about carrots. Okay, so we'll see. So, Ben Zugo, Shibaram, Zachav, and Akeva. Why you have two? Because one was male and one was female. You're seeing we're getting to speak about male and female. Vaharag etan Akeva, and God killed the female, Umbalcha, and salted it. Right? Yeah, sorry, not even gefilte fish you can have in Olam Haba. Litzadikim, for the righteous, latid lavo, in the future. Now we know why so many people don't become tzadikim. They don't eat salt fish. Right?
I thought it was that the Leviathan and the, what was it, the big boar, the shower on boar.
No, this is a different agarata.
It's funny that he killed the female.
Usually
is the better one to pick when you want to get fish.
Oh, is it? Okay, maybe, I don't know. Okay, he killed the female, maybe that's why he salted them for the tzaddikim, that he leveled, the better fish.
They pick it because it has the eggs.
Okay. She'im yifru v'irbu, because if it will be fruitful and multiply, lo yitkaim olam bifneim, the world will not be established in front of them. Okay. That's it. So God created two fish, big ones, in the seas, and he killed the female, and he left it for us, for the tzaddikim, latid lavo, for the future, for the world to come, we'll be there eating the salted fish of the female. But the male is still around. Getting a concept? The male is still around. The male he didn't kill. Now, what happened to the male? He's not being fruitful and multiply. He's still around, floating around there somewhere, right? It could be the representation of the male might be the whale. I don't know what we're talking about. But obviously we're talking about an agarata, right? God created these two fish and he killed one. Why did he kill one? Why did he create two and kill one and then salted it and put it for us to eat in the world to come? What are we talking about? Anyone got any ideas? This Leviathan is a male and a female. Male represents form. Female represents the expression of the form. It's something good because the female's used, it's killed and used for Olam Haba, so it represents our reward. The expression of this form is our reward in the world to come. But if God left this, what would happen? There'd be too much good in the world, and therefore the world couldn't be mitkayim mirov tuvo, because of the abundance of good.
Yes, fishes would just keep multiplying.
Yeah, and there would be too much good. What happens if God's presence is too much in the world? His radiance is too much in the world.
There's not enough room for us.
The world can't be mitkayim, because why can't the world be mitkayim?
I would say that we become almost become immune to it. We don't see it anymore.
No, we see it, but we don't have any free choice.
Maybe we don't appreciate it.
Could we not appreciate it? And we don't have free choice because it's so clear. The clarity is so clear, right? It's like we don't have any more free will. We have no concept of free will. There's just God's abundance in the world. That wasn't the purpose of the world. The purpose of the world was so that we would choose and earn our living. The world in which God created, he didn't create it alpi midas hadin, and he didn't complete it with complete giving. That's what we're having here. It wasn't abundance of his radiance. Why did he create two, though, in the beginning? Let him create one. And I have a salted one for Olam Haba already. Why do you have to create two and then salt one?
Yes, he had to show us.
Because the purpose, remember we always say, the purpose is that we'll bring out God's abundance in the world. That's the purpose of the world. We'll bring out God's tov, God's radiance in the world. It will be His abundant good. That's the purpose of the world. That's why He created it in that level, and then He removed it.
Is this the same idea as having needing to have a higher level of spirituality amongst, I guess, the Jewish people as a whole in order to for Mashiach to come? Is that the same idea? That we would not, at this stage, we would not necessarily be ready for Mashiach and David, but it would take a little, it would take more...
Yeah, you know, there's like, two ways. Like, or, yeah.
Closer to Hashem.
Yeah, there's two ways. Or through the abundance of goodness in the world, will Mashiach will come. Or, because Chas v'Shalom, the negation of that goodness and the hester upon him, then God will bring on Mashiach through difficulties, Chas v'Shalom, in the world, through din. Mashiach will come all through din or through the abundance of goodness. Depends on us. So you're right, yeah. We're supposed to bring the world to its tachlis. The tachlis of the world is to express God's abundant goodness. You with me? That's why He created these two leviathans, these two fish. That's what they represent. The world will not be mitkayim, because the purpose of the world is that we will be expressing that abundant goodness, not that it will be something which will perpetuate in of itself in the world. You with me? Mm-hmm. The world is not mitkayim in terms of its tachlis, in terms of its purpose. So not din has kiyum, not strict justice has kiyum, like the first Rashi we learned, but also not complete goodness has kiyum in the world. Because the purpose of this world is that we express His abundant goodness. And then when we do that, then we'll be able to eat the Leviathan in the world to come. Because that will be the expression of His abundant goodness, that we salt fish, right? And that's why that this Agarata is one of the reasons, right? We have fish on Shabbos. It's Zecher the Achila of Olam Haba. It's a remembrance of the eating of Olam Haba, which is this fish. The Leviathan. Zecher the Achila of the Leviathan. So when you're eating your gefilte fish, that's what it's going to taste like in Olam Haba. Not salted fish. Salt probably means sugar. I don't know. It's just a joke. You understand? That's a conceptually that's what it means. Yeah? Makes sense? So your question is, why does the Torah on the fifth day create the birds in the heavens and the fish in the seas, right, and the creepy crawly, all those things, like the heights and the lows,
right,
and on the sixth day it's going to create the land?
Why is it going Mayim Aretz?
Because it has to be equality. Each day brings an equality. The world has to be in equilibrium. There has to be, you'll find in the days, the first day was created the heavens and the earth, all of it's told us. But each day, then the second day the heavenly bodies, right? Then the third day was the land, the mass land, right? The land and the waters, right? That's the lower. So you have an equilibrium. The fourth day, the heavenly bodies. The fifth day, the land things. Then on the sixth day, we create man, which is heavenly and land. You understand? There has to be an equilibrium in the world. Why there has to be an equilibrium in the world? Free will. There has to be an equal pull in the creation of the world to the heights of spirituality, or to the earthly physical body.
Are you saying, since it's the only level that's left, and it's only one level, therefore that one level is inherently like,
both?
It has its own like equilibrium.
Yeah. Generally, this is speaking about in general. Like on the fourth day we created the suns and moons, that's the heavens, that's the heavenly bodies. So the fifth day, in order to keep this equilibrium, we have to keep the land bodies. But even within the land bodies, on the fifth day we create the heavenly, the birds, and the fish, the low physical bodies. So that's still an equilibrium. Within the land there has to be equilibrium. On the sixth day we create the animals on the land. Right. That's like the equilibrium of those two, and man, who's a heavenly body and who's a physical body.
We can't live in both. Physically, man cannot live in the water.
No, the water, not the water. The water on the earth, on the land, which is the middle, on the land, and in the heavens. Man lives in both.
So man's dwelling, but
his physical goof is on the land.
Right.
His physical body is on the land, but his soul is in all the heavenly worlds. Man's soul is in all the heavenly worlds. So that's an equilibrium. Man himself is the focus of creation, and he's that which is in this equilibrium, because he's the one who has the ability to choose between or the heavenly or the physical. He has the one. He's the one who has the free choice.
You said there are three, the three levels of the soul, being the nefesh, the
ruach,
nefesh,
neshama.
Ruach, neshama,
and there's another two, chay and yechida.
Okay,
five.
Oh, okay, never mind.
The nefesh, the soul, is the basic animalistic soul. That's what gives you life. It's nefesh ubedam, right? So the place for it is the kaved. The kidneys. Not the kidneys, the liver.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that's a place of blood, the blood that gets regenerated there, right? Mm-hmm. That's the physical, that gives you your physical sustenance. That's the reason you think. The reason you're in anthropology, you're a Homo sapien, and you're not a cow, right? You're Homo sapien because you have a nefesh of an otter. You don't have a nefesh of a behemoth. You understand? Of an animal.
Mm-hmm.
But there's higher levels of spirituality which animals don't have. Man has those higher levels of spirituality. That's what we'll speak on the sixth day. We'll speak on the sixth day now, I think. Right? Okay. So now, Vayevarech otam, God blessed them, saying to the fish and the birds, everything, Pruvu mil'u et hamayim, fill the seas, b'yamim, va'of yirev ba'aret, and the birds will be multiplied in the land. So why does God bless them? Why do you need the blessing of God? Right? I mean, we didn't see this beforehand. You didn't tell the trees be fruitful and multiply. The trees just create more trees. The plants create more herbitude. Right?
Mm-hmm.
God didn't tell them to be fruitful and multiply. Why here? God had to say to be fruitful and multiply. God created the thing with a teva. With a reality, with a nature that it'll reproduce. So why here he has to give a bracha? Why have you a bracha here? Just that it created an animal with its own nature, the nature of an animal to be fruitful and multiply. Why did God have to come in and make a bracha here?
It's a good question.
It's not my question. Rashi asked it. It's Chazal's, right? But you understand the question. It's a question in Pshat and Chumash, right? So look what Rashi says. V'yivarech otam. Lefi shemechasrim otam, the man will kill them, will use them, v'tzadim mehem, and captures them, v'ochlim otam, and eats them, hutzrachu lebracha, they needed a bracha, a blessing, v'af hachayot, and even the animals, we're going to see on the sixth day, hutzrachu lebracha, ele b'pnei hanachash, because of the snake, shatid lekalala, that God was going to curse it, lekach lo biruchan, he didn't bless them. Shelo yehu bichlal, so the nachash won't be included in this bracha. What does pru mean? Loshem pri, to produce fruit. Kloma asu perot, make fruit. Rubu, im lo amar ela pru, if it only said make fruit, haya echad molid echad, one would give birth to one. Velo yote, no more. Ba rubu shechad molid habel, one gives many.
Okay.
Now what I need this bracha for? The bracha is because people eat these animals, and we would have given the bracha also to the animals which were created on the sixth day, but because of the nachash we didn't give, because the nachash represents klala, curse, so we didn't want to make it put in the part of the bracha. So the reason animals are blessed so that man will have what to eat, because if one animal gave birth to one other animal, what would happen? You kill one, you wouldn't have much to eat. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them so that we can eat them. But there's lots of them we don't eat. I mean, the whole purpose of all these animals and the bracha that they got is so that we eat them. What does this mean? What's the point of eating? And we're talking about the fish, these big fish that we eat. Remember? We're going to eat them in the world to come.
How can you say that the whole purpose for them to receive the mitzvah of Puru was for us to eat them?
No, they don't have a mitzvah. The bracha of Puru, they produce more than one.
Alright, fine. That bracha was for the sole purpose of us eating them when before Noach everyone was a vegetarian.
Okay, a man was a vegetarian,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah,
what?
A man was a vegetarian.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Because that can't be the reason.
No, that means it was intrinsic the man was going to eat them.
Later on.
That means it was intrinsic that man was going to make a sin.
Question.
You with me? It's the same concept. That means it's intrinsic to creation that God knows that man's going to eat them.
So eating meat was only a product of sin? We shouldn't have been able to eat meat?
No.
No, I'm wrong?
No, you're right. We shouldn't be able to eat meat. We should have been vegetarians. After the Chet, we were given the ability to eat meat. Man was allowed to eat meat.
After Noah?
Yeah, after Noah. Because he saw. After Noah, yeah. After the Chet, Noah was part of this process. You know, the process continues. Noah was part of this process. After man did the Chet, and there was a concept of Ra in the world, and Noah was the first synthesis of good, right, and was... The Ra was removed from the world with the flood, and the beginning of good started with Noah. There was still Ra to remove, but the beginning of good. And you had Avram, the synthesis of good, and the ultimate synthesis of good was Matan Torah, the Jewish people, and the Ra is removed from the world. We're moving the Ra from the world. Till we come to ultimately Mashiach, which is a time where there's a Birul, there's a complete reconnection to the truth, and a Dechiyah, pushing away of the Ra. But yeah, that's what's happening. Okay?
Why do they need the blessing if it's in their nature to...
So the other trees... What? Let's go back to his question. Ask the question better. We don't eat fruit trees?
We don't eat the trees.
We eat the fruit. We don't eat them. We don't cut trees to use them for wood. So how come we didn't bless them? Only animals we use? I mean, you don't make buildings in America out of wood. You import it from Brazil, right? We don't cut trees down, so why all these other things didn't need bracha? Why these things need bracha? Look, it's alive, and it has some sort, doesn't it call it nefesh in the Torah, has some sort of ability to reproduce. It produces leminehu. We don't give it a bracha. These animals are only the ones that get brachas. So this answer doesn't seem to be a very good answer. If it's because we're going to eat them up, and they're not going to be enough of them, so we bless them so they don't produce one. Trees, we also eat them. We also use them. We never, the Gemara doesn't say anything there.
Yeah, and their sole purpose on earth is to be multiplied, so that's what they were created for, as opposed to animals, which may serve other purposes.
What's the purpose of a tree? What's the purpose of a tree? This is all created for man. Obviously, the purpose of the tree is for you to eat it. Certainly, Adam HaRishon, that was his, he could eat all the trees. He couldn't eat the animals.
He was commanded to eat all the trees.
Right, apart from the Eitz Hadas. We're going to get there. So what's this answer? Doesn't make sense, the answer.
Well, for the trees, it's clear.
That's an easy question.
To reproduce, and he made their nature to reproduce.
Yeah, but what's his question? If there's a nature, why you give a bra? Because the nature, Rashi says, the nature is to produce one. The bracha made them produce more than one.
So why didn't he make it to the nature of produce more than one?
Okay, that's a good question. Why didn't a priori he do it that way?
Yeah.
Why did he do it in a way that gave them bracha? Okay. He could have done it the same way as the trees. It's going back to the original question. He could have done it the same as the trees. The tree produces more than one fruit. He didn't need a bracha there. Why by an animal it's innate that they have to have a bracha? I.e., the multitude of these animals in the world means bracha. What does this mean? Bracha comes the word berech. Berech is knee. Right? Bracha comes the word berech, knee. When you bowed knee. That part of your knee. Part of the leg, right? Mm-hmm. That bit that you bend. Right?
That's the word in Latin Hebrew is berech.
Yeah, berech means knee. Also, Lashon HaKodesh. Knee. When a person bows down,
you're bending your knee.
You're bowing. Bowing means there's a
submission.
Bracha comes to a person when there's a submission to a higher form. When you submit to a higher form, when there's a hoda'ah, that's why bracha is a hoda'ah. Borei pri ha'etz. That's the fruit of the tree. It's an acknowledgement.
It's an acknowledgement.
Yeah. To Kodesh Baruch Hu, who's sustaining us, that submission brings on bracha. I.e., when there's a higher form, how do you get the bracha? How do you get the shefa? Bracha is the shefa, the influence you get from a higher form. That comes when you submit to the higher form. If you allow God into your life, it means you submit to Him, to His will. When you submit to his will, you have bracha. So when we're saying a tree grows as it grows, an animal to a certain extent has bracha because there's submission to the will of God in respect to the animal. That means when an animal is doing, so to speak, what's called the will of God, it will have bracha. Animals, we don't think, have free will. Then we go, the Rashi tells us, since the Nachash, the snake, was cursed, he didn't want to bless the other animals. Well, don't do anything. Bless the other animals and don't bless the Nachash. What's a Nachash? Because a Nachash represents Klala, represents, how do you say Klala?
Curse.
The removal of bracha, the removal of God's influence, the removal of God from the world.
What's a chilul? What's halal?
Halal
means klala.
No, halal means nothing. Halal depends on what sense. Halal means chilul, means to profane. Chilul Hashem, profane, means to make something chol, something which is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kedusha, to make it chulin, to mean removed. Chas v'shalom.
Chas means removed.
Yeah, like chas. Yeah.
Removed,
not removed.
Peace removed.
Yeah. Chas v'shalom.
Chas for the sin.
Yeah, the removal of peace.
Salah. Salah.
Yeah.
Chas for the sin.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's somehow the animals. Now, obviously, animals don't have free will. Somehow, the animals are related to man. When the world goes to a way of goodness, when the world is in hoda'ah, in acceptance of God's will, when man, and there's bracha to the animals, there's bracha to what's it called, the fish, the birds, also to the animals on the land. The Nachash, who created man to sin and therefore brought klala to the world, prevented the animals from getting their bracha. Prevented the animals from getting this bracha plural. So there's a missing. The animals are, there's a missing of their goodness in the world. The fish and the birds do have that goodness. They are more connected, so to speak, to the bracha that man represents. When man chooses good, the whole world has that goodness and is fruitful and multiplying. I.e., it's proactive in the purpose of creation. The world goes onto its tuvo, its goodness. That's what's represented in the Leviathan. That's why the Leviathan's mentioned here. When man's the expression of that male Leviathan, then there's goodness in the world and there's puravu and there's a perfect order. You know, they say, I don't know if it's true, but it's a dogma to understand something. You know, in California, there's a lot of homosexuality. And apparently the birds also were male birds with male birds and stuff like that. That's what they say. I don't know, it's on Google. I don't know if it's true. But there's a concept. The concept is, there's a concept here. When man does something wrong, he influences the world. He's removed the bracha from the world. You can see from the animals that the bracha is removed from the world. Trees and wildlife will grow. That's less influenced in a direct way from man. That they will continue to produce the food, although rain and stuff like that won't come to the world. The birds and the fish, in a certain way, they're not connected to that chet of man. In a certain way, there's a certain order in which they represent the bracha. A fish doesn't require shechita. A fish doesn't require a special way of slaughtering it. A fish is not brought on the mizbeach. Birds, some birds are. A bird, it's a machlokas if it's shkita is derisive by a bird. It's only some birds are birds. The main animals that are brought onto the mizbech, they use as a kapara for man, as an offering for man, right? And that's when did we use them? Right? In the after Noah, right after Noah. What happened in Noah's time? The animals, just as man was niskak to the animals. The animals were intermingling. That's what Chazal tell us later. There was a chet. The only animal which wasn't part of that chet was the fish. The fish doesn't require shechita. You pull out a fish, you eat it as it is, because it's not shaykh to the chet. It's probably something in it that a fish, generally speaking, are healthy for you. There's no bad in a fish. Animals, too much eating of animals and stuff like that. If you overeat fish, obviously also, but animals aren't necessarily good for you, to eating of animals. It has to be in a small amount of way. Fish are good for you. You understand? Because they represent that goodness. You understand? It's not stam what Chazal are telling us here. They represent that bracha. That's why the Leviathan was a big fish. Somehow, we don't understand this. Somehow, a fish in the sea represents the bracha of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We'll see that later on. You see, there's no ayin hara sholet. There's no evil eye which is sholet on fish in the sea because they're covered. The bracha of Yosef. There's something about fish which represent bracha. You know all these medallions of ayin hara, they usually have a fish or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. There's some concept in a fish which you have to understand. A dag, right? Chazal. Someone who eats dag. Beyond dag.
Non-Jews have accepted that as well.
Yeah. Someone eats dag beyond dag. Someone eats fish on Yom Dag on the seventh day. Right? Nitzo mi dag. What's dog? Din of the Gehinnom. The din of Gehinnom. So that we see this Chazal that somehow a fish is connected in a proper way. It's connected to bracha. If you're connected to bracha, there's no ra. There's no evil can be mashpi on you, can have an influence on you. That's what a fish, in a sense, represents. Say it louder.
The closer that you're able to get in terms of expressing God's will in physical form, the further you are from, say, the spirituality of being close to Hashem.
It has to be equality. There has to be equality in the world. Man, we're going to see soon. The closer you are in the form of man, the closer you are, in a sense, to. If when man makes a mistake, the mistake will have a representation in you. So, trees are further from man. So there is a representation of chet. We saw there's a representation of sin by a tree. The bark of the tree isn't the same, or the trunk of the tree isn't the same as the fruit. There is a representation of the chet. But animals are closer to man, so there's this concept of bracha. They also connect to bracha. This bracha comes from man. This bracha comes from man's connection with the higher spiritual worlds. That's why, because man has use of them, it has more of use of them, right? In a certain sense. And he'll sad them, he'll be mechasa them, remove them from the world. They need a bracha so that man can have sustenance from them. I.e. man's bracha, man will have sustenance if he brings bracha in the world, and that bracha will be shown in the wildlife. You with me? The trees are innately have this bracha. They innately have the ability to be fruitful and multiply. It's innate to that nature. It's not so much dependent on man. What's dependent on herbitude in the trees is the rain. That's dependent on man. That's what we're going to see. But in terms of the teva, exactly. But the teva of the tree is not dependent. Here's the teva of the animal, which is dependent on the man bringing bracha into the world. And since the nachash brought klala, we weren't able to give bracha to the animals. You understand? Makes sense? If an ox gores a person because the person did something wrong, Gemara says an animal only kills a human being if it's nidmelo, if he seems to be like an animal. That means if he removes his tzelem elokim, if he removes his spiritual form. How do you remove your spiritual form? By doing averus. So in a sense, an ox or an animal will devour a human being if he loses his spiritual form, i.e. the ra that's created in the world through the animals is through man's free will. You understand? So there's a sort of free will related to the animals. Not free will. There's a sort of relationship of punishment based on man's free will. You understand? And an animal is closer to that than, say, a tree or a herb or whatever. You with me? Question as follows. Why by the fish they reproduce in the seas and the birds have to come down to earth to reproduce? A bird in flight is, so to speak, flying in the heavens. The heavens represents spiritual world. the physical reproduction has to be done in connecting with the land. The waters, Kanirea, are physical. That's the place where they live. That's, it's a physical place. So the reproduction can be done there. That's part of the land.
I see.
That could be it.